In our text verse, the verse that we read from Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, Caleb, one of the 12 spies that were sent by Moses to scout out the promised land, one of two spies of the 12 that came back and said, regardless of the obstacles, regardless of how strong the cities are and how big the people are, if God wants us to have this land, we can take it. In our text verse, that Caleb says, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. It was promised to him by God. In the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 24, the Bible says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And so when Caleb came to Joshua and said, I want this mountain, he had a right to it. It was promised to him by God. And he had every right to make that claim that to Joshua says, I want this mountain, I want this piece of land. God wanted me to have it. He promised it to me, and so I want it. Now, he knew it wouldn't be easy. He knew from past experience from being there before that there were some giants that lived there. The sons of Anak, A-N-A-K. Those were the giants that when the Israelites saw them, they said, when we saw these people in our own eyes, we looked like grasshoppers. They were the people that lived in this mountain that Caleb said, I want. These were the giants that caused the people of God to doubt God and his promises. These were the giants that caused them to turn around 40 years earlier and not go into the promised land and have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years till everybody over 20 years old, except for Caleb and Joshua, were dead. These were the giants that were there. But Caleb knew, and he'd known for the past 40 years, that God intended for him to have this land. Again, going back to Numbers chapter 14, you don't need to turn to it, but let me read three verses from there. And they, Joshua and Caleb, spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Caleb knew what God intended. Caleb knew what God wanted for his people. They missed it 40 years earlier. And Caleb said, I'm tired of waiting. I want this mountain. I'm not going to miss it this time. If you read the bulletin, you know that our theme for the month of July is, follow me and I will make you mountain takers. Follow me and I will make you mountain takers. That verse says that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Our theme song, we've sung twice this morning, once in Sunday school and in the service, to start the service. Our theme song is, I want this mountain. I've been thinking about the theme for the past couple weeks, and then Wednesday night, Brother Gerald Stanley gave us a prayer request. He said, I think we should pray for Family Day. He says, I've invited a lot of people that don't know Jesus as their Savior. Pray that they get saved. He says, I've also invited a lot of people that are looking for a church that preach the gospel and preach against sin. And Brother Gerald, you inspired my message this morning. Because I put your prayer request with what I've been thinking about our theme. And we need to say like Caleb. We need to say like Caleb because we know what God intends for us to have as a church, because we know what God wants us to have in a church, because we know what God knows we need as a church. We need to say like Caleb, this is what I want. This is the kind of church that I want. I need a church like this. God wants me to have a church like this. It doesn't matter what the other churches are like. It doesn't matter what the church experts are saying about how to draw a crowd. It doesn't matter what other people say. I'm not going to miss it. Caleb said, I don't want to miss it this time. I missed it 40 years ago. I'm not going to miss it this time. I want the mountain, Joshua. Give it to me. Doesn't matter that the giants live there. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we need to say like him, I'm not going to miss it. I want the mountain. I want a church, number one, that preaches the narrow gate and the straightway gospel. A church that preaches that Jesus is the only way to heaven. You know, there's all sorts of people today saying that there's many ways to get to heaven. Some of them say you got to do something, or you got to be something, or you got to give something. Some of them say, well, you get to heaven, it depends. It depends on your circumstances. It depends on your heritage. It depends on your environment. I'm sorry, that's not what this book says. I'm sorry, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, and I know Brother Leonard quoted this in Sunday school, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if any church or if any other person tells you there's more than one way to get to heaven, they're lying to you. They are deceiving you because there is only one way to get to heaven, and that way is Jesus Christ. Acts 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only the name of Jesus. You listen to me, we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. But God loved us so much that he paid what we owed. But God commendeth his love toward us. In Romans 5:8 it says that while we were yet sinners, not when we deserved it, not after we turned over a new leaf, not after we cleaned up our act, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. And if we receive what he paid, if we receive what Jesus paid on Calvary, the Bible promises us that he'll make us one of his children and give us a home in heaven. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It doesn't depend on what we do. It depends on what he already did. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we need to say, like Caleb, I want this mountain. I know what kind of church God intends for me to have. I know what kind of church I need to have. I know what kind of church he desires that I go to. He desires that I go to a church that preaches the narrow way, a straight gate type of gospel. It's not 18 ways to get to heaven. It's one way to get to heaven. Jesus is the way to heaven. I want this mountain. I want a church that preaches that kind of gospel. Number two, I want a church that preaches against sin. I don't want the church to dress sin up. I don't want it to call it by different names. I don't want a church to worry about offending somebody when they preach against sin. I want a church that calls sin, sin. That says abortion is murder, that homosexuality is an abomination, that gambling in the casinos or at the corner convenience store is wickedness, that pornography that comes through the mail or off the bookshelf or over the internet is pure wickedness. That smoking and drinking and drugs violate the temple that God has given each one of us. That sex before marriage and living together when you're not married is wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what the press says. It doesn't matter what the liberals think. It doesn't matter what the small minority shout. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And the only place we know go to get a definition of right and wrong is this book. Because if we depend on the world to define right and wrong for us, it's going to change with time. But this book doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what this book said was wrong 100 years ago is still wrong today. It's still wrong today. So, I want this mountain. I want a church that preaches Jesus as the only way to heaven. I need a church that preaches against sin. Number three, I want a church that loves me like my mama and skins me like my daddy. I want a church that loves me unconditionally. I want a church that loves me just like I am. I want a church that accepts me just like I am, just like my mama did. But I also want a church that tells me when I'm wrong, that doesn't tell me everything's okay when it's not, that doesn't tell me you're okay when I'm not. I want a church that loves me enough to correct me, to help me get on and stay on that narrow way, a church that reminds me that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, a church that skins me when I need it, just like Daddy used to do. And then number four, I want a church that equips me and helps me get off my blessed assurance and go to work in the vineyard. Goes to work in the vineyard. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we walk in them." In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, the Bible says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I was visiting with Dorothy last night in the hospital. Bob came in before I left, but before he got there, we were talking about all the things that were going on in the world, and Dorothy made the statement. She said, "Preacher, I think we're in the last days. I think you can't read the newspaper, you can't watch the news without just thinking about what's going on and how it all fits in with what the Bible says is going to go on in the last days." And I said, "Dorothy, you're right. I think the day of the Lord's return is approaching. It's approaching. It's approaching. And I want a church that gets me up off my blessed assurance, get me into the vineyard to get busy to go to work. I want a church that equips me and then gets me going and keeps me going." Now look, it will not be easy to have a church like that. Because you see, there are still some sons of Anak that are running around today. There are still some giants that are walking the face of the earth today, and they're saying things like, "Well, you're narrow-minded. You think your way is the only way to get to heaven. How conceited can you be?" And I'll say to those giants, "You're right. I am narrow-minded because that book is narrow-minded. And I believe it's not my way, it's Jesus' way, it's God's way. I believe that God's way is the only way to get to heaven. Doesn't matter if I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong. It's what God says in this book, and he says Jesus is the way, the only way to get to heaven." So I say like Caleb, "Don't be afraid of those giants. The Lord is with us. Fear them not." There are giants that say, well, you preach a doctrine of hate. God loves everybody. And I want to say to those giants, you're right. God loves everybody, and he expects me to love everybody. I'm supposed to love the homosexual. I'm supposed to love those that what we are considered in deep, deep, deep sin. But I want to tell you something. Even though God loves everybody, God hates sin. And he is just enough that he's not going to let sin get by or go unpunished. People will pay for their sins. I've had people tell me, oh, God's so loving, he will never send anybody to hell. He just loves everybody, and eventually he'll get everybody into heaven. Where's that at? Give me book. Give me chapter. Give me verse. I wish it was in it like that. But it's not. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And by the way, this Bible talks more about hell than it does heaven. It talks more about hell because God wants to keep us out of there. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I don't preach a doctrine of hate. I preach a doctrine of love. God will save us from the most wicked sin. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner, as we should. So don't worry about those giants. I say like Caleb, God is with us. Don't be afraid of them. There's giants that say, well, look. You preach like that, you're going to offend people. You're going to turn them off. They'll get so mad they won't come, and you won't be able to help them because they're not there. So what do you want me to do? You want me to tickle your ears? You want me to tell you what you want to hear? You want me to tell you, hey, you're okay, everything's okay, don't worry about it. We may be able to get a crowd, but telling them not the truth is not going to help them. So I would rather preach the truth, have those that are going to get offended and leave, so that I can help those who stay. Amen? Amen. Bible says in the last days, people will seek those teachers and preachers that tickle your ears. I'll just be real blunt with you. If you want somebody to tickle your ears, go someplace else. You ain't going to get it here. Gail was telling me about a new doctor she went to. None of us would want to go to the doctor and the doctor say, take all sorts of tests, x-rays, and all that other stuff, and the doctor say, everything's okay, when it's not. We don't want a doctor to say, well, I don't want to offend my patient. If I tell them they're really sick and they're about to die unless they do something, they may go to another doctor and get a second opinion, so I'm just going to tell them everything's okay. Who would want to go to a doctor like that? I mean, I'd want to go to a doctor that'll tell me the truth. I went to the doctor this week. He told me again I was fat. I said, I'm changing doctors. I told him I lost 7 pounds since I was here 6 months ago. What's the matter with you? He said, you need to lose more. I said, okay. But I want a doctor that tells me the truth. I want a doctor that tells me if I'm sick what to do. And it doesn't matter. Did he offend me? Well, maybe a little bit. But who cares? I'd rather be offended and get better than have everything okay between us and die. And these people that say, well, you're going to offend people and drive them off. Well, those people will probably never make happy anyway. So we're I'm like Caleb. Don't worry about those giants. If the Lord's with us, don't be afraid of them. And then there's some people, and this is my last point, and then I'm done. There's some giants that say, well, just let people set. Don't remind them that they need to get to work, that they need to do something. If people are going to get saved, they're going to get saved regardless of what you do. And there's Calvinists that have crept into a bunch of churches, even some Baptist churches, that say, well, regardless of what we do, God's going to save those that are supposed to get saved, and those that are not supposed to get saved will never get saved. Well, that's a bunch of hooey right from hell. Again, give me chapter, verse, book. It's not in here. I mean, every place that I read in this book, it says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want this mountain. Caleb says, I know what God intended for me. I missed it 40 years ago. I'm not going to miss it now. Joshua, it doesn't matter that the giants still live there. They were big back then. They're big now. It doesn't matter that the cities are walled and strong. They were strong, walled and strong 40 years ago. They're walled and strong now. If God is for me, and he is, giants don't stand a chance. Don't stand a chance. Don't be afraid of them. We know what God wants for us to have in a church. We know. We know what he intends. He tells us in this book. He tells us in this book. We need to say, I want that mountain. That's the kind of church I want. That's the kind of church I want. That's the kind of church I need. That's the kind of church God desires for me to have. I want that mountain. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for letting us be here today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of Caleb, his faith, his determination. I pray that we would have the same faith, the same determination to get for ourselves what you have prepared for us. I pray especially today that if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, you've prepared heaven for them. Their sin's going to keep them out unless they get that sin paid for. Now, they can pay for it themselves, but if they pay for it themselves, they'll miss heaven altogether. But if they'll accept the price that Jesus paid on Calvary, they can get their sins forgiven and get a home in heaven. And so whether that be an older adult or a young lady or a young man or a teenager, if they're here and they've never asked Jesus to save them, Holy Spirit, would you do your work this morning? Would you convict them of their sin and the penalty for that sin? And would you point them to the way, the truth, and the life? Would you point them to Jesus Christ? And right where they sit, say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. But I'm trusting you this morning to forgive my sins, to save me from the penalty of my sins, and to give me a home in heaven. Holy Spirit, help them to pray that prayer. And then in just a second, if they prayed that prayer, if they need some help praying it, to come down the aisle. And I'll take the Bible or have somebody take the Bible, show them exactly what we've been talking about from this book, and help them pray. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Father, thank you for our church. Help us to always be the kind of church you want us to have, the kind of church you desire for each of us to have. I pray, Father, we wouldn't take it for granted. We would enjoy it, and we'd be a part of everything. Bless this time of invitation. Holy Spirit, again, speak to our hearts. Work in our hearts. Do in our hearts what only you can do. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.